doors as he spoke to us last week, and the challenge that he brought to us of the persecuted church. You know, Christians living in fear, you demonstrate courage and hope and don't give up in the most desperate situations. Our brothers and sisters. You know, Hebrews 11 said, as such, we truly are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those living and those in heavenly places. You know, it was a challenge last week. How easy we forget and get on with our lives. But Ali reminded us that there are persecuted brothers and sisters across the globe, in Afghanistan, in India, Nigeria, and Sri Lanka, and North Korea. And the list went on, didn't it? The watch list of countries who are persecuting Christians for their faith. And I read an article this week which said, you know, that there's numbers of universities who the students are refusing to have people to speak to them. And one of the categories was Christian. You know, we are privileged to know that there are brothers and sisters around this globe who are paying the price for their faith. You know, John the Baptist said about Jesus that he wasn't worthy even to unlatch the latch of his sandals. You know, remember those tested by fire who come forth as pure gold. In the knowledge that when Christians suffer for the truth, we have an advocate who knows what we're going through, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, a real challenge to us and a time to reflect, as Psalms would say, Selah, pause and calmly think of that. And don't forget, you know, being a witness works two ways. We have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters, not only here in this fellowship, in this nation, but in this world. And they to us, because we're the family of God. And Jesus never told us it would be easy. But very blessed, and we ask the Lord to bless our brother this morning. But the challenge that I've been thinking about all week, but you know, as the temperature increases this week, it made me remember the first time I ever went to Oman at 10:30 in night and got off the plane and thought, wow, the heat from those engines on the plane are phenomenal. And I walked across the skywalk, past the airplane, and I thought, no, it's not the plane. Temperatures are 50 degrees at the moment in Oman. But it made me just remember one thing from that time. And I remember going to visit an artillery base, an army base, when I was in Oman, a place called Iski. And we met the commanding officer who took us to his office and sat us down in front of a very large desk, because it would be, because everything's furniture in the Middle East is big, big desk. And he sat us down, and then he proceeded to, well, welcome us with tea and dates, because you, wherever you went, you had tea and dates. And the first time I was given dates, I thought, what do I do with a stone? You know, do I put it in my pocket? What's protocol? But tea and dates. And then he proceeded to tell us about how the armed forces functioned and what he was responsible for and, you know, what his role was and the equipment they used and maintained and how proud he was of his soldiers and his equipment and everything they did for the country. and how the soldiers were trained. You know, then he stood up. And he came round from behind his desk, and he came and he sat down. He sat down next to us. And he looked at his desk, and he then went on to describe the role of the commanding officer and how important it was for him to do his job, how he was responsible to the Sultan for doing his job, and how important it was. And then he stood up and he went and sat back behind his desk and resumed his role as commanding officer of the armed forces. But he was a very humble man, and I've never seen anything like that before. But he described his role. You know, and I just thought, you know, what do we expect when we come in on a Sunday, when we look at the lectern? What do we expect? What do we expect from the people who stand behind the lectern, as I'm doing now? What do you expect? You know? What do you expect of the speaker? And how would you describe it? Do we say to hear the Bible preached, the truth of the word of God proclaimed, that the speaker carefully handles the word of truth? It says in 2 Timothy 2, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I can remember in St. John's Church, up the road, in the pulpit in St. John's Church, there's a plaque. And it just simply says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." The challenge to anybody who stood there to preach, "Sir, we would see Jesus." You know, and that's the challenge and responsibility of anybody who stands here and have faithfully proclaimed the word of God week in, week out. You know, we're privileged. To expect people to hear what God's saying at the time. What God's saying today. You know, we don't want to hear what God was saying 20, 30, 40 years ago. We need to know what God is saying to us as individuals here today. So we would see Jesus. And we sing, to know him is the cry of my heart. Spirit, reveal him to me. To hear what he's saying brings life to my bones. You know? And can I truly say, as we sang last week, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, declaring there's hope and there's freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. The power of the name of Jesus. Angus said this morning, the power of the name of Jesus. But I just go back to my commanding officer. And he knew what the role was that he was expected to perform. And when he moved on to something else, somebody else would come in and pick up that role. And they were recognized for their role. They were recognized as the head of the armed forces or the commandant or whatever it was, you know. And there was a time when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Who do men say you are? Who do men say I am? You know, are we what people expect of somebody who's been born again, who's come into that relationship of adoption with the Heavenly Father, who loves us with an everlasting love, who stands with us, who fights for us, who anoints us, who fills us, you know, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and with a genuine article of that new creation? Or do we say, you know, for me, there was a time when I was 11 years old in St. John's Church in Weymouth when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. Well, kind of that's over 60 years ago. So what is my testimony now? What do people expect of me now? A seasoned Christian who's been through ups and downs, who's experienced challenges. You know, Jesus gave a parable, didn't he, about two men. One he called a wise man and one a foolish man. The wise man built a house, and he built a house upon the rock. And the foolish man built a house, and he built it on the sand. And it, you know, made me think, you know, you drive around new housing estates and kind of like they all look the same. I believe these houses look the same. Until the storm came, until the waves beat against the house, and the house on the sand fell flat, and great was the sound of it. But the house on the rock stood firm. Is that our testimony? I can remember an old aunt years ago when I was a little boy. She was a school teacher. I'm glad she wasn't my school teacher. And she taught us, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And she would bang the table, and the rains came down, and the floods came up. And she was an awesome, scary woman. But it's kind of in there every time I think of that parable. But, you know, what makes the difference? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. So, you know, what does this transformation look like to other people, to our family, to our fellowship, to our neighbours, the people we work with, the people we socialise with? You know, kind of like that's everybody? Or, you know, do we put it on as we get dressed on a Sunday morning? Sorry, that's being cynical. But 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Wow. Let me read that again. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, now see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. You know, is that an indication of what I should be like as a Christian? Not the happy clappy brigade, but this intrinsic sense of joy that we've been transformed, that we've been new creations in Christ Jesus. You know, we often quote, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, and is that just a quote? Is it real? Does it really make a difference to the way we live? That the joy of the Lord is our strength? You know, I'm just always challenged, but I've been born again. But do I still run my life as though I wasn't? Do I still value the things which kind of like everybody does? my neighbours do, you know? Should that make a difference to me, what I value, who I am, how I live, what I spend my time doing, what I spend my money doing? Should it make a difference? It's not a badge, is it? Jesus didn't die for me so I could have the badge. He died to forgive my sins, to make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a challenge, brothers and sisters. And the people that Ali spoke about last night are a living testimony to that. It goes beyond what they've got because they haven't got anything. It goes beyond their jobs because they're denied many employment opportunities. They're persecuted. How lightly do we hold this born again in Jesus Christ today? Yeah. Matthew 19:29 says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." That's the reward. That's what the Lord Jesus has given us, that we might become people who are holy, that we might inherit eternity. What have we got? What have I got that my neighbour currently hasn't got? I've got an assurance that I've got eternal life with Jesus Christ. John 15:11 said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," Jesus says, "may be full." Sorry. "That my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." It's joy. This intangible thing. Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking." It's not a legalistic thing, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is our reward? Joy. We sang it this morning. Jesus, our joy. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Joy, unsearchable joy, that we might lay aside every weight of sin which too easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that's been set before you and me. We've got a race. It's not my brother's race, it's my race. One that's been set before me with joy. Because we're image bearers of the Most High God and Father, our Lord Jesus, our Saviour. Inexpressible joy, that we might see the face and attributes of Jesus in one another. To the end that, having all things done, we might stand. To know that joy lasts. To know that joy, you know, sometimes you meet people, don't you? They don't have to tell you they're a Christian, you know. What do you know? There's a deep sense of peace and joy in their hearts. You just want to be with them. For the love of God compels us. Mark 14:19 says, "And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." We've got such an opportunity, such a privilege, not to be taken lightly, but to seek the Lord. What does he want of me today? Where does he want me to go today? What does he want me to think and say and do today? Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." that what we profess we might appear to be, and what we appear to be may be what we truly are. Amen? What we say we are is what we are, and everybody knows it. Because we're built on the rock of our salvation. We know a security in Christ Jesus. You know, what do men and women say, think of us? What do they say? What do they see? Who do men say that we are? Yeah, I was interviewing some people during the week, and one of the questions was, what leaders have most inspired you? And I was given an answer which I hadn't expected. The person we were interviewing said, well, Dr. Reverend so-and-so, my father, is who inspires me, who I trust, who is wise, who I go to when I need wisdom and help. And you expect to be some kind of great orator, a great saint of old, and he says, my father. And it was a challenge to me, say, well, was my father that person? A lot of my life he wasn't. But I do believe he became that, because it was his relationship that, from being backslidden, he came back to a knowledge of Jesus. And this particular person is a Christian who loves the Lord Jesus so very, very much. But that's the person who inspired him. Who inspires us? You know, Habakkuk 3:17 says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, nor the produce of oil fail, and the fields yield no fruit, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the store, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Is that where we are? When, you know, the brothers and sisters of last week, well, there's nothing. Do they take joy in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Because this world's not our home, brothers and sisters. We're passing through it. But how we pass through it is important. If we say, I've been a Christian for 60 years, and nobody can see the difference. It's time of repentance. Isaiah 35:10 says, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain gladness, and joy and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you want to be in that number? Do you want to be in those who come into the house of the Lord, singing and dancing? Because it's us. Not because other people think we should, but because it's us. It's what Jesus is doing in our lives today. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, be joyful, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, there should be something strangely attractive and compelling about a Christian. And as the events of this time unfold, how much more important is that for Christians to be said that having all things done, we stand. That regardless, we stand because we know that we're stood on the rock of our salvation. Immovable. Whatever comes against us, whether everything we've got is stripped away, the one thing we've got is the Lord Jesus. And his plans and purposes for our lives are being worked out. We might know what we'd like them to be. God knows what his plans are. And he's no respecter of persons. You know, his free gift is available to everybody. Anyone who lacks can ask and he will freely give. You know, because he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a promise. What a little verse. And it's the whosoever's. It's everybody. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank you.